My husband's in Australia. He sends his greetings and his love. Keep praying for him. I know you are. Tomorrow he leaves for New Zealand this week and ministers there. So keep him in your prayers. And those of you who do Facebook, see all the pictures. I don't even do Facebook. He does all the Facebook, but once in a while I see one. So today's a really special day because someone very special is here and near and dear to our hearts, my husband and I. It's our pastor, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy. Many of you probably have never met him or heard him, but we are so blessed to have him today. You know, when we went through our trials that my husband talks about frequently years ago, on this hand, I can list those who stayed with us. Like, we basically lost all of our friends in the ministry and all of our friends in life in one day. But there were like this many that stayed, and Dr. Kennedy was one of them. And Dr. Kennedy got in a plane and flew to our house and sat in our kitchen and looked at us and said, "You can't quit. God has things ahead for you, and you can't stop now." That's our pastor. That's what he did. It's important. Dr. Kennedy is a man of integrity. He pastored a large church for several years. He's been married to Coral, his beautiful wife, for 38 years. That's important to us, a man who's been faithful to his wife. How many know that's a big thing? Those are the reasons we love Dr. Kennedy. And today, we get to hear him, and he's going to minister. He's entering a new season in his life where he's no longer pastoring a church, but now he's going to be traveling and imparting all the wisdom from all the years. He's been in ministry 48 years. So I want you to welcome my pastor. Really, it's all of our pastor here, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy. Let's stand and tell him we love him. Give him a warm Phoenix welcome. Dr. Kennedy.
You're sweet.
Well, you're awesome.
You're sweet. Hi, everybody. I could not hear you. We had a great time in the first service this morning, and it's good to be with you. And Mike's in Australia, New Zealand. And you've got to be able to stand behind him and Mary because of the great voice they have right now. Mike is a tremendous prophet of the Lord, and the world needs it right now. They just don't need a preacher. They need somebody to give them a statement of where they're going and prophetic understanding. And so I appreciate being with you today because I understand that excellent is rarely achieved alone. That's my statement right now. Excellence is rarely achieved alone. You must have a relationship with good people. And that's with you also. And also the body of Christ around America. We need to really be Christians, Christ-like ones, and really make a difference. Cartwell, the guy that invented or created universities, raised $7 million for one university. He raised it for poor people to be able to be educated. He would travel across the land. He would say this one statement over and over again. He would say it to people that he spoke to about a farmer in South Africa who had this farm, but he kept hearing about diamonds all over South Africa. And he really wanted to be able to find those diamonds. So he sold his farm. And he began to travel across South Africa looking for these diamonds. Never found any. Looked for them for years, never found any. And finally, the story goes, he jumped into a river and drowned. He was very depressed and very, very confused because he didn't know and have direction for his life. But the second farmer that bought his farm one day had this stone in his house, and a guy visited him, looked and said, "I think that's a diamond." He looked and he says, "Really?" He said, "I have them all over my farm. They're everywhere in my farm." He said, "Really?" He said, "They're everywhere." And he found out that was one of the largest diamonds they could find in South Africa. Nobody understood, really. And we should understand that sometimes you have the greatest people with you, but they really don't realize what they really have. Like the first farmer who never realized before he sold that farm that he was a farm that was filled with diamonds everywhere. You see, all of us have certain talents in our life. And when you need to use these talents to make ourselves more successful than we could ever think in our existence. Help us to use those things to do something. You see, I started a new ministry called Episcopus.com. That's what it's called. And it's about mentoring people. I'm doing it for businessmen. I'm doing it for preachers. And I'm trying to give some 48 years in ministry. I've been married to my wife, as Mary said, 38 years. I didn't marry till I was 30. So you can figure out how old I am. I've been doing this a long time. And so there got to be some wisdom. I finally came to the point that I had to have some wisdom or I might have to be 105 before I have wisdom. So right now I have some, so I'm starting to utilize it to help some people think right. To really begin to think right and begin to think right as Christians. You see, God has done something for everyone in this room. Every one of you in this room have Christ in you, the hope of glory. All of you, as 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, have the mind of Christ. Now, some of you are not using the mind of Christ, and therefore you're not very smart. But if you use the mind of God, you'd be very smart because you have that deposited right inside you right now. And God wants you to use it by the help of the Holy Spirit that's with you right now in your life. It's very important to know that. I was raised as a boy in Route 8 Box 70 in Texarkana, Arkansas. Texarkana, is somebody here? Are you from there? A good girl. But I was raised in Texarkana, Arkansas. It's Texarkana, Texas, Texarkana, Arkansas. And I was raised in the Arkansas side, and we lived, believe it or not, on Route 8 Box 70 in a house that was logged. And I never thought about it until these last 7 months or 8 months. I've been thinking about how God has helped my life so much. I really mean that. And I started thinking about it. I remember one day when there's Odd Fellows, there was a group of guys that would come and give us Christmas. They would give us presents and everything to make our Christmas good. I'd watch them and I'd say, wow, those are nice guys. I don't know who they were. I don't know exactly what they were representing, but I remembered in my mind that they gave me Christmas, made my life better. And I started thinking about it. I said, God, if I ever have influence or any type of influence at all, I'd like to help other people. And I started thinking that very big in Dallas, Texas, Clothe the Child, and I would help thousands of kids by raising money to fund them to be able to have Christmas and clothes and stuff like that. And I did that for many, many years. And other people have taken it over and it's going on. But it was all because of that one thing that happened to me as a boy. And I thought about it. I said, man, God, you've been good to me. And I started thinking about this. I said, God, you've been so good to me and put a passion in me to understand that I don't have to stay in the way I thought I had to be. You see, there was a young man and I shared an early service about it. His name was Washington. And at 9 years old, this young man in Mississippi, he started driving these mule carts and family worked out in the cotton fields or wherever they were working and they didn't have much. But his mom was a Christian. And she would tell him, she said, you don't have to be like all the other family that has nothing. You can have something. And ultimately in this man's life, if you read about his story, he owned 17 corporations before he died. He began to think a different way and believe a different way. He believed his mama. He didn't have to be like the other people in his family. He believed that he could create something, do something, and achieve something in his life. And a lot of people just don't understand that. A lot of people don't realize the gift that's inside them right now. God placed his nature, his mind. Matter of fact, he placed his heart inside you. He wants you to think different. You're not alone. Paracletus understand that, the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit with us right now. And right now he can tell you about your business and your church, how to be extremely successful if you listen to him. But you got to listen to him. If you don't listen to him, then you're all by yourself. And by yourself, you're kind of a person that does not have direction. If you listen to him, he will give you direction. He will make plan for you to be able to ultimately come to a place of success in your life. But you got to listen to him. A lot of people just don't listen to him very much. I had brothers and sisters by different fathers. My mom was married 4 times. My dad was married 3 times. My brothers and sisters, many of them were not with my father. They were with other gentlemen that were different guys that I don't know that my mother married. It's an amazing situation. But my sisters and brothers raised me. My first one named Dolores, and she was a retired lawyer in Houston, Texas. Very successful lawyer. Who would ever think she would turn out to be a lawyer? But she was a very successful lawyer. Then Patsy Puckett, she taught me how to sing and how to love Jesus with all my heart. I've been thinking about this so often right now. And then all of a sudden, my brother Ted, well, he was a preacher in California ultimately, and ultimately got me to Canada, where I stayed in Canada 9 years and went to school. I started thinking about this passion that God was placing inside me to learn something in all these years and get it deep, deep down into my heart. And the Bible tells us all the time that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I started saying, what's in my heart? What is the philosophy that I live by? Bibliology is what I live by. Every time I get in trouble, I go back to the Bible and I find an answer. Every time I have a problem, I find a solution in the Bible. If I have a problem, it's just a test. The test is always there, and tests will come to your life on earth. I promise you that. And you know, many of us said, our kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, a lot of us haven't got that down yet. It said, as it is in heaven on earth. Heaven don't have no demons. Heaven has no devil. Heaven has no problems at all. It's on earth where you got some problems. And if you don't understand that you got problems, there's no problems in heaven. It's right here on this planet where you got problems, and on the problems on this earth, if you really listen to the Holy Spirit and let his mind function in you, then you'll find a solution for the problem you're having and maybe be able to move on to your victory that God wants you to have. You see, God wants you to have victory in your life. But some people don't even understand that. They had the test and they quit. There's a tapestry inside your mind. The tapestry in your mind, one side says failure, the other tapestry says faith in God will see the solution. And this is going on inside you. And it's been going on inside me since a boy in Route 8, Box 70, all the way through my life. I'm beginning to understand if I would just believe God, trust him with all my heart, not live in that tapestry of unbelief, live in the tapestry of faith in God, then I would see the solution for my problems that I'm facing. And I've been tested a lot. Oh man, I've been tested a lot. I should have gave up. Many years ago, I had a massive stroke. I shouldn't be speaking to you right now. A massive stroke. I could show you my brain if you wanted to see it, and you'd be shocked if you see my brain. People say, what do you mean? And I promise you, part of it is dead. But I'm speaking good, and I'm doing good, and I am successful again in life. Because you've got to believe. Thank you. You've got to believe that there is a faith in God that will always bring solutions in your life. So this passion was beginning to build inside me. Now, it can take you till you're 95 to get it. But I promise you at 95, before you leave this earth, you'll most likely have it. Because you say, Lord, I'm ready to go. Amen. But you'll get it down that you really believe on the side that says God can solve your problems in your business. God can solve your problems in your church. God can solve your problems in your marriage. God can solve the problems in your health. God can give you finances when you don't have finances. God can do it all. Or you're believing on the other side of the travesty that you're saying, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be successful. I'm going to fail. It's going to be bad. You can live either way you want to live. But I have learned over my journey in life to believe God for the good solutions in my life. So that's the knowledge that I began to get inside me. I went from passion to knowledge, and finally it gripped me. Man, Lord, you've been good to me. I mean, I started thinking about this over and over again. And as a man thinketh in his heart, where's your heart right now? What's your philosophy? My philosophy is God can do anything. All things are possible. Now, I wasn't there forever. It started gradually moving toward it because of the test. As soon as I had the test, I had to choose. Do I believe God can solve it, or I believe I'm going to die? People say, what? Yeah, I've been told 4 or 5 times I'm going to die, but I look pretty healthy right now. I promise you, but the issue is you got to either believe or you just go get you some good insurance and pay for that next husband for your, you know, that she's going to marry somebody else. That's what happens. I promise you. I looked at my little wife. She's very cute. I said, man, honey, if I drop dead, there'll be another guy coming to see you. He'll say, the Lord has sent me over to mow your grass. I promise you. And I go, wait a minute, Lay. No, there ain't no guy coming to my house no more. I've got to get well. Because I look at my little wife, I said, no, she's going to get another man. And if you think you're going to die, go buy a good insurance policy and support that next husband. Because that's exactly what will happen to you if you're not careful. You either believe you're going to get well or you believe it's time that you're going to leave. And if you believe you're going to leave, you're gone. But if you believe that God can heal you, you can overcome anything. I promise you. 3 guys visited my hospital one day on the stroke situation. They walked in the room. They stood in my bed. I'm laying there, and I was a vegetable in a sense. I couldn't walk. I couldn't speak. All I could say is why. I couldn't say anything else. It's documented. I wrote a book on it. It'll be out very soon. Ted Squires is my agent. It's going to the publisher soon. The issue is, these 3 men walked in my room. One guy stood there, and he looked at me, and he says, boy, he's not going to be able to pastor his church. Look at this guy. The next one looked at me, and he says, well, he's not going to be able to help in a Church of Rock International. Look at this guy. I agree with both of those two. I said, well, it's probably true. I couldn't speak. But in some of my reasoning in my mind, I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. The third one said, look at this guy. He's a vegetable. He's not going to stay with that wife of his. Now, I wanted to get out and whip his butt. I really did. My name was Buster when I grew up. It became Dr. Lawrence Kennedy as I grown older. But I wanted to get up and whip, but I couldn't because my leg was gone, and I couldn't speak, and I couldn't get out of the bed. And I just looked at him and said, man, Lord, and then in the back of my mind, this thing called the Holy Spirit, not my mind. My mind wanted to whip him. But in the back of my mind, God said, if you do not love him, I won't heal you. And I went, oh. Do I believe God or do I believe my carnal mind? And I had to love those guys. And when I see them today, I walk up and hug their neck. And they know exactly what they've done. And they were all preachers. 30 minutes later, my little wife walked in. She's a cute little girl. She walks in, and she walks around the bed, and she walks up to me, looked me in the eyes, and she looked at me, and I was in this vegetable state, and I really was, folks. Mike knows it. Mary knows it. People in the world knows it. It's true. She said, I'll never leave you. I'm with you forever. You're my best friend. Don't you worry about things. She didn't see those other 3 guys. I said to myself, man, I got a good woman. I said, I might not have known it before, but right there I said, boy, I got a good one. I better quit. And no, I better spoil her a little bit more because she's worth it. Amen? So I learned something. Now remember this. In the tapestry of your mind, you can believe it's not going to happen or you can believe it will happen. That's something you choose to do or not choose to do. And it happens in your business, it happens in your finance, it happens in your life, happens for everything you want in life. You believe that God will give you a better home. You believe God will give you a better car. You believe God will heal your body. You believe God will take care of your marriage. You believe God will raise your children right. You believe God will. And you stay with it with all your might, with everything within you. That was a knowledge that was born in out of this passion that was inside me. And I didn't even realize it till I began to understand what God was doing in me. He was trying to bring me to a place that I can pray. I pray for this church every day because I've seen the loyalty of Mike and Mary toward me. They have been very sweet to me and kind to me. And so I watched it and I prayed for them every day before God. So it's a real deal. So when I show up here, I feel at home. I feel at home. Since I walk in this church, I feel at home. And people say, why do you feel at home? Because I prayed, and I'm talking to heaven about it. And heaven is talking to me about it. And he's talking to you about it. It's the way it works. But the knowledge is forming. You mean that I can pray about it and God will answer it? Let me tell this for all the businessmen here right now. Listen to this statement. When you pray about it, you're tracking your future. Pray about it now and track your future. Pray about that person who's going to come in and give you business. Pray about that person who's going to come in and advance your company. Pray about it before you even meet them. Don't get discouraged. Pray about it before you meet them. Pray about the people you're going to sell something to and you haven't met them yet. Pray about it before you see them. Pray about it. Get their name. Pray about it. I've seen God open doors for me that were closed to me, and I prayed about it and he opened it to me. Yeah. It's called being able to forecast your future. Hope, real hope, is to be able to say it's going to happen to me in the future. Amen. Oh, me. So we got to be able to comprehend this deep inside of us over and over again, because some people don't do it. I talked about it this morning about a guy named Washington that was in Mississippi. He was a young man, and you heard me say this earlier, but that man ultimately controlled 12 companies at the end of his days. End of his days, not the beginning of his day, at the end of his days. You pray about it now, at the end of his days. And all of a sudden he began to journey along, and all of a sudden doors start opening and things start happening. He meets people that advance him in his career. That's the way it works, folks. Because God is trying to get us to the point that we understand that we've got to have this tapestry taken care of. Every time I've got in trouble, I said, I'm in trouble right now. How am I getting out of it? I think it's time for me to pray. It's time for me to get up early in the morning and seek God when no one else is seeking God with me. It's time for me to be able to give like I've never given before. It's about time that I begin to do some things that are phenomenal. I've got to practice it myself. I can't just leave it with the preacher over there or to a person that I know that's a good prayer warrior. I've got to do it myself. And when I do it myself, I find an answer to that for myself. It's a powerful thing when you begin to understand that God is for us, because he tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 that we have the mind of Christ. You have it right now. It's already in you. Are you using it or are you not? Are you using the Holy Spirit or are you not? He is there. He's a gift to you. That's what it's called, the Paracletus. He is there to assist you. Are you letting him go before you when you can't go into the future until you travel it by time? Do you let him go before you, be able to help you in the end? That's the way it works. It's an amazing thing to be able to understand it. Recently, 7 months ago, I had a 4 bypass and an artificial valve put in my heart, an aortic valve. I looked at the doctor. I said, doctor, I don't feel like I'm going to do this. I actually said that. I said, I'm believing God to heal me. I said, now, would you do this to yourself? He said, I'd do it this afternoon. I mean, you do it to yourself this afternoon. I said, why? He says, you're dead in 2 months. It gets your attention. I mean, I promise you, it gets your attention. It makes you go, are you serious? Yes, I do 2 of these a day. His hands are in bronze. He's a noted surgeon. I said, you do it to yourself? Yeah, I said, well, God, I was talking to you, and this guy says that I'm going to be with you very soon. You get that one? I will be with you real soon. You get real clean, Mary. You get real clean when you think you might be, you know. Talk to God about everything that you think is bad. You may, oh God, oh God, oh God. He's sitting in my life. I don't know what it is, but I'll confess anything that's happened. It's amazing. So the issue issue is, what did I say? Amen. So he looked at me and he said that to me, and I said, when are you going to do this? He said, Monday morning. I said, okay, Doc, let's go. Because I figured it out, and I told you this before. If I wasn't going to believe God for healing, I better take out a bigger insurance policy for the next husband that would marry my wife. Because she's cute. She really is cute. And I looked at her and said, there'll be another guy that wants to come to the house and take care of her needs of her life. That jerk. I knew it. And I said, I've got to take care of my wife and take care of myself, because my son is leaving, my daughter's leaving, and she's the only one I got, and she was faithful to me. And I don't want another man with my wife. That guy's of the devil. I hadn't even met him yet. You know that? He's of the devil. I know it. And I haven't met him yet. Hallelujah. So I started saying, God, I'm going to get it. So I got the surgery, and I run 3 or 4 miles every morning. Walk 3 or 4 miles every morning. Give me that mic. You told me I needed that mic, and I got it now. Hey, turn this one off. Hello. So it's a neat thing to know and go through these tests of life and begin to understand that you got to choose where you're at. And you'll choose. I promise you, you will choose. So go ahead and do it now. Do it before you have a problem. Begin to really pray about it. Get the Holy Spirit moving for it. Spend time in prayer. My philosophy of life is bibliology. I go back to the Bible every time and find a solution every time. Because if I don't find the solution, I just as well say it's over for me. And I am not ready to retire. It's an amazing thing. Come on, somebody say amen. So I begin to understand that God is trying to teach me some things about life. And some of these things I'm learning about this tapestry in my mind, do I choose to believe him for a miracle or begin to get into doubt and frustration and go ahead and give up? You never can give up, because God is with you every time. He's with you all through your life. He'll be with you when you end your life. He'll be there with you. Why don't you start practicing when you're 20, 15, 30? I promise you, it's an amazing thing to watch. Now, my wife and I started to discuss. She said, well, I've got to get a career. She'd been a pastor's wife for over 36 years, 37 years, 38 years. She said, I got to get a profession or something. So she went into real estate. So I began to pray for her every day that God would bless her. Now she's in magazines in Dallas, Texas. They'll throw up a picture of my little wife. See how cute she is? She's speaking for them. She's one of the noted realtors in Dallas, Texas, truthfully. How did she get there? Because on this tapestry in my mind, I begin to pray for her every day. She's under my covering. She's under my covering. I'm under God's covering. She's under my covering. I said, bless my wife. Now, she does wonderful things. She bought me a new car. She's making money. I said, give it to me. I said, you're going to pay for my vacation. You're going to take care of me, because I'm the older man now. She's only 6 years younger than me. No, 8 years younger than me. No, 8 years younger than me. So I said, it don't matter now. But I said, God, what a good wife I got, that she would go out and start helping me any way she could. And she didn't have to. She hadn't done it all those years when I was pastoring. She went and jumped into it and became successful. And a lot of it is because of my prayer. And I tell her all the time, honey, you know, you understand, it wouldn't even be doing this good without me. I wrote books on spiritual authority. I know it works. Amen. I said, you understand, honey, as long as you're submitted to me and not leave me for some other dirty old man. you'll be blessed. So I'd look at her all the time and I'd say, boy, I am a blessed man. Then my son, now girls, he's single. My son is 6'1", 200 pounds, and a jiu-jitsu expert, let you know that. Started when he was 3. There's my son. Now my son, who would ever think that I, after paying $867,000 for my heart problem, paid off. Thank God for the insurance. Amen. But the real reality, there's my son. He went to the University of Texas. He went to Notre Dame, SMU Law School, and Harvard made straight A's. He's now the Assistant Attorney General of the state of Texas. Now, that's a big deal. It's this thing you got inside you right now. Do I believe that my son is going to not make it? Or do I believe my son is going to make it? I believe my son is going to make it. I believe he's going to give me money to take trips on. I've been supporting him. It's time for him to support me. Amen. I doubt if he'll do it, but it's a good boy. Yeah. It's wonderful. So it's really funny to watch that sort of thing. So I love my boy with all my heart, and he's down there in San Antonio. And his first job, assistant attorney, learning under Paxton in Texas. It's an amazing thing. He's got 9 counties he's responsible for. It's an amazing thing. He knows more about it than I know, because I wouldn't do what he does. But it's amazing to watch. But I promise you, this is another thing, and I'm trying to get this down for moms and dads and everyone in here. Mike and Mary knows it. Their sons better understand it. They're prayed for them every day. If no one else prays for them, I'll throw this out. They're getting prayed for, mom and dad's praying. Praying that they'll be successful, praying for their grandchildren, praying for their future. It's a real big thing, and all the parents in here understand this. So my son now, I look at him, and I go, man, you're amazing to me. He's 28 years old and been in school for 10 years. Amazing. I could make straight A's at Harvard. He made straight A's. So I understand that. That he's qualified to do something I'm not qualified to do. He's a lawyer. Some people don't like lawyers. But Attorney General represents the state. It's an amazing thing to watch this take place. Then I have a daughter. My daughter, they'll throw her picture up. She's 6'2". I adopted her from Russia as a little baby. She's under my covering. She goes to the University of Alaska, studying to be a pilot. She wants to fly for FedEx. And she's a junior, and she's going to pass it all. I hope she does. I'm forcing her as best I can. But she doesn't have to listen to me because she's 20 years old. 20 years old, you know, when they're 17, 18, they don't listen to you no more. Have you ever found that out, parents? When they get 20, they're already on their own, and you're an old person. They don't want nothing to do with you. Now, you may, if you had to pay for their bills, love them anyway. You know what I mean? But she's going to turn out to be a pilot. And she'll be flying right over my house in Dallas, Texas someday. I hope she doesn't crash. It's an amazing thing to understand this thing called living in the tapestry of your mind, to believe they're going to be a failure or believe they're going to be a success. Believe they're going to make it or believe they're not going to make it. Same thing about anything in your life. But I promise you, most of you are still, and I'm not being mean here, are still in the valley of decision.
You're in the valley of decision. Soon as a problem happened to you, a test happened to you, you walk around saying, I'm through with it. I'm going to quit church. I'm mad at that pastor. I'm mad at that. I'm just mad at everybody. I'm just mad because I don't like what's happening to me, and I am through with it. If it doesn't change right now, you hear me, God? If you don't change it right now, I'm walking out. Do you understand? God will look at you and say, get out. Because he's trying to get you to believe that he could do the impossible. One day in my life, I was praying for my church building. And I've taken all my money I could from the people. I said, I need your money to pay for this building and all this stuff. It was a rented building before we moved into the new building. And they raised the money to get this new building and given all the money they could. And I said, God, I climbed under my desk. And this process in my heart was being developed. And I'm going to say it's been developed, folks. Have a couple strokes and have a heart problems and bypass four times and an artificial something solid inside me. I promise you. I'm not having, I don't want any more. But it's something deep inside me to believe God. So I remember under my desk when this process was on and happening to me. Oh, God. I got to have $50,000 to pay this tax situation because it was a rented building and I wasn't under 501c3 yet as a building we own. I was down praying. My secretary walked in. She knows I've been praying for months. This process would begin to develop inside me, believing God. I'm a preacher. You got to believe God. I said, oh, God. She came walking. She said, you wouldn't believe what's in the mail today. I said, what is it? It's a $50,000 check. I said, who's it from? His name is Earl Shaw. Where is he from? Destin, Florida. I said, well, take it to the bank and see if it's real. So she took it to the bank and they found out it was real and I cashed it and I paid for it and I got into my building. It's an amazing situation. Wait a minute. This tapestry in your mind, you're always in the valley of decision. Do you believe it's going to turn out right or you believe you just get an insurance situation and die and let that wife marry another man? Take good care of that guy. He'll get a new car on you. Then after that, I had this building and I couldn't use this building. It was an amazing thing. And a guy, wife walked in my room and she said, office, she said, my name is certain name. I went, really? It's good to meet you. She said, I'm a visitor here today. And you mentioned today that you have the building. I said, yeah. She said, how are you going to get into it? I said, I don't know. She says, well, my husband will help you with that. He was a construction guy. And I said, oh, man, I believe in construction guys. But I said, oh, here's somebody who just wants to make money on me. And I had no more money. It was all gone. All gone. I'm back under my desk again. Really? Process of this developing of this tapestry in my mind, believing God can. I confessed it so much it looked like you think I was an absolute idiot. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. People say, why? Because God's got to do it. God's got to do it. That's the way it was. God's going to do it. God's got to do it. So he called me on the phone. I guess his wife bugged him. Called me on the phone, said, can I take you to lunch? Went out to lunch, sat with him and his partner. He leaned across the table and says, I had this dream. I said, you had a dream. I have never met this man. His name is Paul. He says, you had this dream. He said, yes. What was it? He said, I'm supposed to help you with this building. I said, really? I have no money. He says, you have no money? No money at all. You understand? He went, I said, I had no money. I said, he rubbed his head a few more times. He went, I guess I just have to lend you the money. I said, you going to lend me the money? He said, yeah. It was $300,000. I was on the right side in my mind, believing that God can. He sent a guy that had a dream. Do you believe God can give people dreams? Do you believe God could, let me show you something. You believe God can give you a dream that help you to be able to be successful in your business in the future? Do you believe that God can make your boss like you that doesn't like you right now if you pray for him? Do you believe that you can make enough money that you can give to this church and make it very successful? Now, wait, I'll tell you something in a moment. I'll give it to you in a second. Wait. So he said, I said, well, go ahead. The next day, all the things were putting air conditioning on, fixing the building, everything. His whole crew was a big company. Built all the schools in Dallas, Texas. Did all sorts of things like that. Showed up. I went out and said, man, and had no money. Ultimately, I sold some, you know, sold some situations and paid him off. Some bonds. Paid him off. It's an amazing thing. Earl Shaw, the guy that gave me money, I asked him one day, I was watching the Dallas Cowboys play football and losing. And we sat there talking. I said, Earl, why do you give me all this money to this church? He said, well, it's real simple. I gave you 10% and I kept 90. I said, why didn't? He said, I get tax returns by giving you 10%. He's a businessman. So he said, I give you 10% and I keep 90. And I get tax benefits from it. I went, I said, good. Do y'all understand that? You should never get upset with giving money to this church. You should say, hey, we better give it to them because right now you got tax exemption. Someday you might not. Right now you got it. So be able to give. Be happy about giving because you get to keep 90%. Matter of fact, you should go up to 15. Come on, somebody say amen. This is real. This is the real deal. That people just don't understand these situations. Be able to have a heart problem. 867,000. I am over 65, 68. So something, they paid for it all. But I'm going to tell you something. That could have bankrupted me the rest of my life. It's paid for by God's grace. You got to understand. And I'm healthy. Do I look healthy? Am I a good-looking old man? This is real. Come on, everybody. Let's get this thing down. Let's understand. There's a tapestry in your brain. And you're the only one that can choose. You can't choose it. Now, if the angel showed up tomorrow morning at your house and he looked at you in the face and says, now, do exactly what I say or you die by the end of the week. You would choose. But most likely, he's not going to do it. Faithful is he that believe and have not seen yet. He's just going to tell you by the Holy Spirit to do things, and you choose to do it or you choose not to do it. It's completely up to you. If you choose to do it, then you got a blessing on your life. Do you understand that? So I'm trying to get you to understand this today. Please comprehend this. This is a testimony. I've been working on this for 7 months. 7 months thinking how the passion developed. The knowledge, bibliology is my philosophy. I go back to the Bible. It doesn't matter how bad the test is. Once I get the test, I say, where's the answer? I got to find the answer. Sometimes I have to find a prophet. And I'm a prophetic guy myself, trust me. But I have to usually find a prophet that tells me things out of the spirit realm. I said, out of the spirit realm. And it happens. Because I believe. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to pray for you in a moment. And I pray that you would understand this deep inside your heart. That you choose today to believe or not believe. You choose. I was on a journey. Before it's over with, I was waiting until I was 85 to get it all down, but I decided to get it at 68. Some people say, I'll just wait a little longer and then I'll get it. You'll get it. You will get it. Some of you already got it, but you will get it. I got it. People said, when was this really in your mind? When that guy told me I would die. And then I had to choose to be with Jesus or to stay here a little longer and help some people understand what I'm sharing today. That's the truth. So where is your mind right now? Is your mind in the unbelief side? Wait. Or is your mind on the believing side? When the pastor was up here talking about offering a little while ago, was your mind said, boy, I better give some good offering today or not? He's telling you the truth. Are you believing or not believing? If you're sick in your body, are you believing you're going to go to heaven? Or get healed and live another 50 years? You don't live on earth forever. I haven't seen many people 180 years old yet. You'll get it down. I finally got it down. I'm not saying there wasn't pain. Tests are pain. When they cut my chest open, popped all my ribs, stuck things all in my belly inside, that's called pain. But with the pain, I got the gain. Because I begin to understand that God is going to let me live probably 40 more years. I'll be an old man walking up here preaching with him. Well, how you doing? But I'll do it. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. You're not meant to die. You're meant to live until you're told by God it's time to come home. Let's stand to our feet, everyone. Now we're going to do whatever Mary tells us to do. I messed things up a little bit this morning. Mike told me they have services tonight at 6, and I didn't know it. But now it's okay. I finally found out it's okay. So some people might want to come. We're going to pray for people tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And listen to me real quick. If you have something, you can give it to somebody. How many believe that? How many believe you have something, you can give it to somebody? When that doctor told me that he could do this 2 times a day and he had knowledge to do it for me, I believed him. He had knowledge. If you have something, you can believe something for somebody else. I have this thing down. Mike has it down too. Look what has happened to him and Mary in this church. You go through tests. And the tests make you. David had a goal in life. He became king. Saul had a goal in life, and David couldn't kill him. Joseph had a goal in life from a dream. He had to fulfill it. Jesus had a goal in life, and he had to bring his salvation. God's given everybody in this room goals, success, but some people are living on the side of failure and not living on the side of victory. Everyone in this room, God has not given you something by accident. You have a goal. If you're in business, you need to be the biggest business, the best successful business. Amen? Can I hear an amen? You need to be very successful in whatever you do. If you're selling real estate, selling insurance, own a company, you don't need to be anything but successful. Why? Because you're the king's kids. Just that simple. How many of you believe you're going to go to heaven? Oh, wait, let me look at all those. The ones who have not lifted their hands, we're going to pray for you in a minute. Look at those hands. Well, if heaven is responsible for you, thy kingdom, let me say it one time, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I said this before, let me say it again. There's no demons in heaven. There's no devils in heaven. There's no problems in heaven. On earth, you got problems. You got demons, and you got the devil. But in heaven, you have no problems. So when you pray for heaven to come down and bless your life, and you stay there long enough, you'll be successful. Everything in your life is going to be successful. So I'm going to pray for you. And then Mary will come up and take charge. We may pray. She may have us pray for people. I don't know. But tonight we're going to pray. But let me say this to you. And I'm going to say this because Mike made this the same way, and so did all of his staff. The reason I like it so much is because I got good people here. Some people I know are not good people. But there's good people here. And if you're good people, you need the blessing of God on your life. Now I'm going to pray for you, and Mary will come and stand beside me. But I want everybody to lift your hands up high. And I, first of all, before I pray, I want you to begin to ask God to let you be a blessing. Girls that are not married, ask God to make sure you marry the right guy. Guys that are not married, make sure you ask God to give you the right girl, because she can ruin you or bless you. Businessmen, start praying that your business will succeed. Close your eyes. Talk to God about it. It's between you and God, not you and Lawrence. It's between you and God. Close your eyes. And if you're sick in your body, ask God to heal you, your body. Talk to Him a few minutes. And I'm going to pray for these things. If you need finances, listen to me for a moment. Ask Him to give you greater finances than you've ever had before. Now begin to lift your voices just for a minute before I pray. And let me hear you talk to God for a moment. Let me hear you. Before I pray, I want to hear you. Begin to talk out loud, loud enough for Him to hear. And you're not embarrassed about it. You're talking to Him. You don't care if anybody around you hears. Talk to Him right now. Expect a victory. Expect a victory in your life. Expect to be able to overcome any obstacle. Expect to be able to overcome any financial problem. Expect to overcome any physical problem. Expect that your marriage would be healed. Expect that your children would be great. Expect God to do everything that you asked Him for. Right now, ask Him for it.
Blessings this day that you've brought to us, Lord. We receive it, Lord. We choose to believe the right. We choose to believe the good. We choose to believe you can do all things. We choose that path, Father. We thank you for bringing Dr. Kennedy here to encourage us and to bless us, Lord. We thank you so much for it. Bless Dr. Kennedy in Jesus' name. You can all be seated for a minute. We want to be a blessing. You know, this is our pastor. We want to bless him. And I want everyone to do something to bless him today as the ushers prepare. I have my offering here. And he's just near and dear to our hearts. And the Bible says, you know, if you say, oh, be blessed, but don't do anything, faith without works is dead. But we want to show how much we love him. I want to show him by this offering and just to really bless him, to show him that we really do care about him and that he's special in our hearts. So please, everybody, do something. And then as the ushers pass the buckets down, remember tonight, Dr. Kennedy's going to be ministering. He's going to be praying for you. He's going to pray for people. He really does have this anointing to see the miraculous happen, to see things that are impossible happen. And I know he's going to pray for people. So come back tonight at 6 o'clock if you can. It's been an awesome day today of worship. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Edward to lead us in a song, and as the ushers keep continuing, and we'll see you all tonight. We love you all.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become more.